we welcome you there and here and everywhere to this wonderful evening worship service where I'm really excited to start this wonderful series on biblical foundations. What in the world do you believe and I believe and these churches stand? And we're going to save these in a booklet form. Somebody's going to type it out, and there's going to be a wonderful booklet for those who become members of the church so they know what we believe. I'm going to add maybe one or two more on sermons from Pastor Tomlinson on baptism and others that he has made, one in money. We have to look on it and put it together. Meantime, how wonderful day we have, and what a gorgeous morning. And once again, Brother Lewis, thank you so much. I called him, and I think Saturday or Friday, I changed all my schedule for July, and I need him to sing something patriotic, and he did. Fantastic. And even the song on the choir harmonized with the entire aria was very, very, very good. And so I was rejoicing myself. You know, when a preacher enjoys his sermon, means he did a good job. And the whole environment, not only the sermon, the entire the congregation singing was so excited. Everything was so good. All right? Now, every evening, we start with number 255. And I thank God Elenita Noriel is here to help us in the piano. I asked Romulo to play, but she says, no, let my wife play. All right. Here we are, 255. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you at the end of the long day because we worship you in spirit and in truth. We are so thrilled, so wonderfully made by you that we want to say thank you, Lord, that we can enjoy and learn from the teachings of your word so that we can be strong in our faith, knowing what we believe with all our heart. Help me, O God, to teach it with simplicity so that it can be understood. And can we honor you, who are mighty and powerful. In Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. All right, every evening service, we select hymns from the congregation. And also, we got a signal that our internet was not working today, but it's not so. I got two emails from Texas and one from Philadelphia, so they were listening. And the only thing is the East Coast was under real jeopardy with the storms. And part of New Jersey and part of New York were under the weather. So I want to say those who are in the Internet, whatever nation you are in New York or in Escondido, you can call and type your request if you have
the hymn book, all right? And our signal is going well. Is that right, Brother Ralph? Okay, so they are listening. All right, now from the auditorium, here we are. Elenita, you have some, you like it?
Okay,
254. All right, Elenita, right there. Come to the Savior. What a great invitation. Blessed be the name. Isn't that a great song?
Hallelujah.
Blessed be the name. Number 32. Thank God for people who work together, all right? Thank God. All right, let me get there and I get there because my eyes saw that hand first. All right, what a nice dress you have, Mary. Okay, tell me. 40. Number 40. Great is thy faithfulness.
Thank you.
very truthful. Bernie?
257.
257. Pacific Hill. How was it?
That was good. Wayne
is speaking. Okay.
Yeah, 30 people.
Oh, that was very, very, very good. All right. I'm glad to have Wayne back and hope his brother, which is back in the hospital, by the way, will make it. One time I was taking care of in the hospital of Mary's mother. What's your mother's name? Is it Larson? Is it Larson? Boy, I'm getting older. And the Dr. Colleen came in and said, she's going to die, she's got pneumonia. And Dr. McCorvo was with me and said, no, she will not. All the precautions were taken, and she did not die. Of course, we're talking about somebody at 89 or something. And she did not die of pneumonia. And as I look in the hospital records, more people die of pneumonia than anything else. It's not cancer, the killer, it's pneumonia. And you get pneumonia in the hospital. Because they don't care properly. So now I was 3 days in the hospital saying, bring me blankets, bring me blankets, bring me blankets. Why? Because in the night I move. And so I asked the other patient that was in the other side, do you got blankets? He said, yeah, I got one. Ask for two more. Because you're going to die tomorrow morning. Oh no, he asked for blankets. They want me out of the hospital. I was making too much noise. But the other guy was Spanish, so we talked in Spanish. And each time they wake me up, I wake him up. And he said, why me? Why everybody don't wake up, you know? It's just amazing. All right, now, it's somebody else. Señorita Tricia.
309.
309. Are you happy you're out of the school?
Yes.
Working as always. And one of those days, we get a doctor here. 309, all right? Lord's Supper, they said, you cannot drink the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11:31, unworthily. Well, some people think, okay, I want to make myself worthy. But no one of us can make ourselves worthy, all right? Mm-hmm. So unworthily means as an unbeliever. Remember, it's a participle. Participle make things where you are, all right? Verbs give you direction. Participle change the meaning of whatever the verb is. So say unworthily means you cannot say, I'm going to participate of the Lord's Supper and I do not believe it. But if you believe it, who makes you unworthy? Worthy. Christ. I say it wrong. In other words, we take the Lord's Supper worthily because of Christ. Not because of us. No, that simple words. I remember Greg, are you taking Hebrew or Greek this time?
I'm taking Hebrew.
Hebrew. All right. I bring the studies for you so that we get another Hebrew scholar, okay? Speaking to Hebrew to your wife, to your children, to Pedro. All right. And Pedro can teach you the vowels because they're all Spanish vowels. All right. Okay. That's my favorite language, Hebrew. All right. And my body here, Downey, his favorite language was Greek, in his Greek. All right. That's what one man cannot know everything. You know one, you're good in one. That's what I did. You're good in one, and then you explain it. So how wonderful. Beneath the cross of Jesus. Any other song that you like to say? Mary Thompson.
272.
272. All right. We move to the left. By the way, on Wednesday night, Brother Lewis cooked, they say, I cannot take chocolate anymore, it's just dangerous. But they say he made a remarkable chocolate cake.
Oh, yeah.
And so something came home. And I don't know who ate it. It was on the downstairs table. But I tried it, and it was very good, brother. You would make a good husband cooking for your wife. 116.
Thank you.
son in this church. It's a beautiful son, reflecting for the Lord's Supper, the sacrifice of Jesus. All right, one more song tonight. All right, Señora Barbara. 531. All right, that's what we've seen this morning. America, the beautiful. My wife plays. She is not feeling too well, and so Raquel is here, but I'm so glad that you help her. And tonight, I have the pleasure to start with you the studies on biblical foundation. If you can remove, Chris, that thing from the top over there, you see it on the screen, and you have notes that will be followed in sessions. I thought that this is very important. I tell you how I get this idea. I learn all the time from all over the world, from all kinds of people. I take the good and separate those things that I question. And I was in Emma's celebration of their graduation, and it was done in a large Pentecostal church in outside the city of right around Portland, Oregon. And it's going to come to me. Start with B. Pardon? No, Tualatin, it was the other girl, but this one is with B. Beaverton. Thank you. Beaverton. And, in the meantime, the people over there, large building, well done, well presented. Brother Cassandra knows it. I like this. And he brings me, when he goes to Georgia, he brings me every material that he can find so that we can learn from each other. And a big booklet. And I asked a gentleman, there was a library open to the people, I said, which book do you people recommend for somebody who doesn't know the Lord or knows the Lord and is very young? And of course, with my accent, that appeals to the person to help me. And he said, this one. And he took one, and it was a Pentecostal Foundations for Life. So I took the book, and I'm going to grab some thoughts from that book on 10 lessons. That book, you know, our Pentecostal brethren, they believe their emphasis is on the second baptism of the Spirit. But they fail this lesson. They have no one lesson. I asked the fellow, I said, I look on it, and I said, you know, this is wonderful, but the first thing I need to know is the Bible. Is that right? He said, yes, but there is no lesson on the Bible. He said, no, we assume the people take it, but the book was good. And so I'm going to take excerpts from there and mix with my studies and put it together. Something very basic that will be made in a booklet and put right there on the stand over there so when people come in, they know what we believe. Now, the first thing that we need to know is the Bible, all right? The Bible. That's the first thing we need to know. Now, if this will work, usually, let me see. But come on. Let me see. This is supposed to work. Here it is. Now, here is the content. What happened is for 5 years, we are saving in our church. For 5 years, we don't change the battery in this. All right. Brother Greg is running from you, Jack. Don't let me spend money. All right. Now, here are the 10 essentials that I really like to share with you. Then, Bible essentials. Tonight, you're going to know 3 basic thoughts about your Bible, which is important for you to stand. Then sin and salvation. What is sin and what is salvation from? Then you see on the stand repentance and baptism. That's important. Remember the Bible said they repented and were baptized. It's not that they were baptized and repented. They repented and were baptized. Now the Holy Spirit at work. I like that. In other words, if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit should be at work on you, all right? That's important. Then the discipline of prayer. And I think that one is very important. I make a copy for everybody in the church. The discipline of prayer. It's not just I pray. You have to have a discipline of prayer, all right, like David did. Then faith and hope. The two difference. Some people in some books on language, they confuse pistis, the word faith, with pisteo, which is a verb, and the King James translated hope. So we're going to deal with that. Then evangelism and world missions. Are we responsible to evangelize our city? Are we responsible to evangelize the world? Then we're going to talk about the resurrection of Jesus and the judgment to come. It's not just Jesus is going to be resurrected. There is a judgment for those who believe not in him. And then we want to talk about something social for you. Biblical prosperity and generosity. Prosperity and generosity goes together in the Bible. And I'm going to teach that. And then a spiritual family and church life. That's important that you understand your church life. Your attendance to church, your giving to church, your contribution to the church. Because it's not pastor of their church. It's your church, all right? And Pastor Thompson would say the same thing. It's not his church, it's your church, all right? So this is the 10 essentials, and there will be no one Sunday after the others because the coming Sunday, missionary Dante Rabines is speaking to give us a fresh report. And then the following Sunday, morning and evening, will be missionary Fred Lewis and his wife Carol to give us a preaching in the morning. He preached very good, this young man. And then in the evening, a fresh report of what he's doing in Los Angeles. So I think we should start with the first point I want to make tonight. What does the Bible say about the Bible? Now, that's the first philosophical question that you ask when you read a book. All right. First thing, when I get a book, and you know when I go on my classic vacation on September, I carry at least 3 or 4 books that I read. And I, on the book, on the first page, you will see my writing saying what this book said about the book. And then I read it quickly, and at the end I got an idea what the book said about the book, what the book claims to be, and I write it so that I read the book with that idea in mind. Now, what does the Bible says about the Bible? Will you turn your Bible then to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 in the New Testament? If you are using the Bible provided in the pew, it's page 1298. What does the Bible say about the Bible, page 1298? All right, here's what the Scripture says. All Scripture, singular. All Scripture is given by inspiration. Now think of those words. I'm reading the King James, of course. By inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, the word inspirations appear twice in the Bible, and the word inspiration is written in this way. Deo means God, all right, in Italian and in Greek, Deo. And then the word pneuma means wind or spirit. It is written together, Deo pneuma. And that means the wind of God. Now, God doesn't have a fan, a push wind. I said between parentheses in my notes, the breath of God. The breath of God. It's not that God inspired the Scripture. Actually, we can say that God expired the Scripture. He gave the Scripture, all right? It's not that He took in the Scripture. He gave out the Scripture, all right? The breath of God. Now, this is clearly seen in Genesis 2:7. So you move your Bible to Genesis chapter 2 in verse 7. And actually, before Genesis 2:7, let's go to the book of Job, one book before the book of Psalm. In chapter 32, please, and in verse 8. Book of Job, chapter 32, and verse 8, page 627. And now, look what the Scripture says. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty. Here's what the second time in the Bible that word inspiration comes. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. All right? Now, I want to give you now another Scripture that will clarify that word inspiration in Hebrew. It's the same Hebrew word they use here. It goes in Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 7. So if you go back in your Bible to Genesis 2, 7, and then I make a recapitulation so that you know what this point is. In Genesis 2, 7, the Bible says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, here's the word, the breath of life. The breath of life. And man became a living soul. So what I want to say is this. What does the Bible say about the Bible? Well, in 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says that God breathed his word. And that word breathe has been used in Job 32, verse 8, and also in Genesis 2:7. God breathed his word. So what that means, this. The Bible is the word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. When I went to seminary, it was the year 1971, 72, 73, starting 69. So those 10 years over there, or 7 years, to get your doctorate degree. And really, at that time, there was a theology, and we had debate people in hotels and things like that, big meetings with Dr. Schaefer, remember, Labrie Schaefer? The people said, the Bible contains the Word of God. Now, class, tell me, what's the difference between contains the Word of God and is the Word of God? What do you think it is, class?
We say, is the Word of God, meaning everything in there is the Word of God. Contains means that maybe only part of it is the Word of God, and there's other things in it that are not.
You are a smart young man, and that's exactly what it is. When somebody tells you that the Bible contains the Word of God, that is saying you that partially the Bible is the Word of God, not totally. But the Bible clearly said all the Scripture is given by the breath of God. All Scripture. Not the Old Testament or the New Testament, but both together. And so the Bible is teaching, the Bible says that God, the Bible is the Word of God. If somebody asks you, what's the Bible? The Bible is the Word of God, the Rhema of God, the graphi of God. Graphito, you know, the little lead in your pen is called graphito. Graphi means the act of using graphito in a writing format, all right? You know all of these from grammar. These are English words from the British Academy. And so here's what it is. The Bible is the Word of God. When you have your Bible, you have the Word of God. When you read your Bible, can we say you read the thoughts of God? Class? Yes, you can say that. Don't be afraid. This evening is going to be a class, like a Sunday school class. We talk back and forth. All right? If the Bible is the Word of God, in the Bible, we have the Word of God totally. No page of the Bible is a personal opinion. Is that right? And we'll deal with that in a minute. So the Bible is the Word of God. People say, where's the Bible? The Bible is the Word of God. Now the question for you is not here in the material, but just to clarify what I said this morning, America believe in the God of the Bible. And when I said the Bible is the Word of God, in the New Testament the word God is Deo. In the Old Testament it's easy. They have seven names, but the name of God is Jehovah, Yahweh. All right? So that's the God we're talking about. All right? So when somebody said, well, have you read the book of Hindus? Or have you read these other books? No, I don't need it. And some people say, well, if you will read this book, you will understand it. No, I tell you, 1976, that was 200 years of America anniversary, all right, on the celebration of independence. So I took Miriam with me and Raquel, and we went to Washington, D.C. And I spent a week in every place in Washington, D.C., and you know me asking questions every place I go. And so we are where they print the money, in the mint house where they print the money. And they say, any questions, said the man. And we saw the millions of dollars being printed all the time. And I said, anyway, yes, I have a question. So what is your question? He said, do you train those people who have no gloves with their hands, and they were short and they were tied here so nobody slipped some of them and they were touching all the time as they were passing? Do you train those people in false money? No, sir. They are 8 hours testing the printed material, the good material. They know the good material forwards and backwards. When the wrong material comes in, they will tell you as they touch with their fingers. And so I tell you, that's how you and I need to be. You know, there are many religions, all right? And religions are divided in this and the other. Now, how do you know the truth? Well, I tell you something. The Bible is the Word of God. It doesn't come by touching the Bible, all right? This is no money. This is the Bible. How do you then become permeated with the Word of God so that nobody lies to you? You read it. Today, we have the advantage. Our brother Jeff has sent us to Brother Jack and to myself a set of CDs. Remember, Jack? A set of CDs with the Bible. I put it in my Nano. All right? And I'm trying to convince my wife I need a bigger Nano. All right. And when I go to the gym, put my Nano in the pocket and the headphones, and I run. All right? And I'm listening to the Bible. And sometimes Raquel knows that I'm expressing. So Raquel do the exercise way on the other side, because when the Bible says times, he goes, hallelujah, good. And they're looking at me like, this guy really loses, you know. And they think I'm listening to some crazy song, but I'm listening to God's Word. And I know the Bible, the reader, and I tell you, you permeate your head with the Word of God. Young people do that. Buy your nano. Tell your daddy, I need a nano. And then you got that one and put it together. All right? And now there are ones, I saw it. It's small like this. That even you can hang in your ear. It's just amazing. Go to Apple Store and see it and buy one. I tell you, it's good. All right? Tell them that I send you so they can give you one free. All right, here it is. First point is this. What the Bible says about the Bible is the Word of God. Now, if I get this moving, we got to the second point. Otherwise, I go down and move it myself. I have to buy the battery, brother. Now, the second point is, who wrote the Bible? The Bible is the Word of God. That's a different story of who wrote the Bible. Well, let's go to 2 Peter, chapter 2, and verse, 2 Peter chapter 1, and verse 21. 2 Peter, chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 21. I tell you this statement. The Bible was not written by men. Look at the beginning of verse 21. For the prophecy or the writings came not in old time by the will of man. Was not the idea of anybody, any man, to write the scripture. Do you see it? It's just clear. It's just absolutely clear. Who wrote the Bible? 2 Peter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time. The writings came not in old time by the will of man. That's the first part of the verse. That means no man wrote the Bible. So the Bible was dictated by God. Look at what the Bible says in 1:21. Here it is. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by... who? By the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. They were not moved by circumstances. They were not moved by governments. They were not moved by self-interest. They were moved by God. And I want to show it to you. Let's look in the Old Testament, the old book of Ezekiel. Remember, if you find Daniel, you find Ezekiel right away because it's just before Daniel. And let's go to the very beginning of Ezekiel in chapter 1. It's very important, page 897, if you are using this Bible. Ezekiel chapter 1, and I'm going to read for you verses 1 to 3, and you will see what I mean. Now it came to pass, in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river of Shebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. The word of the Lord came to the prophet. It was not the prophet writing, it was God writing. All right? Now, let me show you another great prophet. Go to the left to... to Prophet Jeremiah. All right. Now here is what you're going to find in the Prophet Jeremiah in chapter. I said to the left is to the right. Isaiah and then Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 1, and you know this because you study the book of Jeremiah in our Sunday school. Here's what it is in verses 1 and in verse 2. You see it over there. All right, the word of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. As you know, the calendar was not like we have today. The calendar only depend on the life of the king, all right? And now, remember, the numbers were 1 to 9, and so you have to calculate it in a different way you calculate it today. And so here it is. The Bible says that here is what it is. These prophets did not write out of their own imagination. They not wrote a novel. They wrote the word of the Lord. Now I ask you to go to the New Testament, to the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, to chapter 1 of the book of Revelation at the very beginning, where John, the author of the book of Revelation, revealed these to us in a marvelous way. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, page 1336, verse 9 to 11, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle of Col, in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. He was in jail because he was a believer. Verse 10. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, and unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto the Pergamos, and unto the Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. That's how the Bible circulated. God, through the voice of Christ, has commanded John to write what he saw and to send it to the churches. So here is the answer to the question, who wrote the Bible? The Bible, God wrote the Bible. That's the answer. Now, there is a question mark, and I put an exclamation mark in my notes. There are some people who believe today that there is further revelation of God in a personal format. They believe that God can speak to you independently of His book, the Bible. So when they say to you, God told me, you have to ask the question before you make a judgment. You have to ask the question, when you say God told me, what do you mean? Now, could mean that the person was reading the Bible, and through the scripture, God told that person what to do. That's very good. A young man is reading the Bible, and he said, boy, I'm reading 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 18. I should not marry anybody who is not of the likeness of Christ like me. God told me. It's right to say it. You can say, God told me I cannot marry an unbeliever. Here it is. Now, that's one way to say it. But if you say, God told me in a dream what I saw, and I have people telling me that. I have a lady one time telling me, you see that light over there? The light became brighter and brighter, and then the light told me and was God. Then the husband asked me, you think my wife is not? No, I said, no. Your wife is misinformed. Let's go to Revelation, please. And now we go to chapter 22, the very last part of Revelation. And I'm going to read verse 18 and 19. This is the closing of Revelation, Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that hear the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So, do you remember approximately what year the book of Revelation was written or came to be? About? At the beginning of the first century, all right? actually in the year 109 or something like that. Now, by the year 450, was adopted and believed in the church. There were 400 years people did not believe the book of Revelation, neither the book of James. They were fighting with these books because James said that you believe by works and so on. And so it was in the Nicaea Council that it was accepted. But then, this book of Revelation chapter 22 is telling you and me that nobody can add after Revelation 22. See that? After Revelation 22, it is finished. It is done. And so nobody can say, God told me independently of the Word of God. Nobody can say, oh, I had a feeling you need to buy that property because God told me in a dream. No more. It was in the Old Testament, but no more. So we follow the Bible. When I say to the church, I will not consent to any buying unless it's a transaction made in this way, I took it from the book of Judges, where Gideon expressly said, if I'm the man to be used, I need this, this, and this. So I practice what God had established. And so it's very important that you understand that God wrote the Bible past tense and is not writing no Bible anymore. God is saving people. God is convicting people through the Holy Spirit. But God the Father is not writing Bible anymore. Alright? That's very, very, very important. Alright? Now, we go to the next question. What the Bible is good for? You know, when you buy a book, I bought about 5 books in order. I always am buying books. I have to read 1 book a month if you want to keep your head really moving and the left side of your head really learning. And you buy books in different languages and you read it and so on. And I said to the lady who was booking the books, I said, will you tell me what every book is good for? Oh, I don't know. So have you read the books? She said, no. How come? You had the books in the store, was it Brother Company? No, Barn House, but the other, Borders. And I said, how do you sell the books if you don't read it? He said, well, I'm an employee. Well, you should be excited. You should be spending time in the night reading the books. He said, you're crazy. No, I'm not crazy. How can you say to me this is a good book? Well, he said, sir, no, we don't do that in America. He said, just to cover me out. Now, I tell you something. You need to know what a book is for. That's why you have libraries and you saw that book and then you go and read it and you find out what the book is for. All right, go back to 2 Timothy with me in chapter 3 and in verse 16. All right, you got it? And now here it is. Chapter 3, verse 16. All right, point 3a in our outline. 2 Timothy 3:16a. The Bible is good for a standard. Look at in here. They said all the scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Now, doctrine is the word didactic, which is teaching, is the standard. Didaskalos is the word written over there. Is the standard for teaching. The Bible is the standard. There is no any other thing. So when you want to know the standards about life, you go to the Bible. Whatever the Bible said, that's the standard. Let me give you some example. If you go to 2 Timothy, as I put it here, in chapter 3, in verse 16, you are in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 now. Look at it. The Bible is the standard for salvation. Look at here. 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child that has known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith. Is that right? That's what they said. Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, the Bible is the standard. Why do we recommend you to read the Bible? Because that's the way you get saved. Who told you that? The Bible told you that. That is the standard. The Bible is the teacher. That's the standard. That's it. That's no compromise. You read the Bible, you can be saved. doesn't mean you will be saved, but you could be saved. All right? That's important. Now, young people, you want the standard for marriage. Why? Somebody asked me, I think I told you already, media asked me why I think on homosexual and lesbian marriage and so on, that is permissible, and that if I be kind enough to accept it. I said, well, you know, I'm no God. And God wrote the Bible, I said to the reporter. And if you can write in the Mercury if you want to, but you have to say what I say, and I'm recording the conversation. Now, here it is. I open my Bible in 1 Corinthians 7, in verse 1 and 2. Here's the standard for marriage. All right? Here's the standard. Okay, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1 and 2. Now, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me. Some people wrote to Paul and said, oh boy, there is a mess here in morality. And so Paul said, concerning the things wherefore ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own man, not his own wife, feminine, all right, an heir, okay? And let every woman have her own husband, Eve, masculine. And so you see, this is the way it is. He said, but what do you say? I don't have anything to say. This is what God say. And this is the way it's going to be. Now, if you don't have the Bible as your standard, then you will be in trouble, is that right? Because it's your opinion against somebody else's opinion. And very soon, they put a trick on you. They said, well, you are no kind, and you are, is God a loving God? He is a loving God. He gives me standards. And here's how it is. So the Bible is God's standard. When you want to do something, find out in the Bible, what's the standard? I have a Bible divided between these 4 points, the standards and other things. So when somebody asks me a question, I open that Bible and I know where the standards are. And I did it just by reading the Bible over and over and over. All right, second point. 2 Timothy 3:16b. Look at the diagnosis. The Bible says all the scripture is given by inspiration of God and is proper for doctrine and for reproof. That's the diagnosis. Okay? That give you a good diagnosis. Now, let me show you. Let's go to Proverbs 23. Those who read Proverbs with me every day, by this time, you know by memory, Proverbs 23. Now, do this, going to help you not to get Alzheimer's. When you see a chapter you like it, memorize it. Read it twice, and it's yours. All right? Don't fool around. Memorize it. Now, Proverbs 23, verse 7. You need to have the King James, please, otherwise you'll make a mess. For as he, talking about mankind, thinketh in his heart, what the Bible said, so is he. So, well, you know, somebody told me, you know, this person has a bipolar disease and has this and the other. No, sir. As the person thinketh, is he. He's a believer or he's an unbeliever. What are the two? There is no fooling around with our thinking. The Bible says, the standard of the Bible says, as you think, that's what you are. Now, Jesus put it really strongly. Let's go to Mark Gospel chapter 7. Look at what Jesus says in Mark Gospel chapter 7, verse 21 to verse 23. Jesus said these words, for, page 1088, for, from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adultery, fornications, murders, death, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Now that's Jesus' diagnosis. See? So here it is. When you do something bad, don't blame Satan, just blame yourself. I'm acting not out of the new nature, I'm acting out of the old nature. That's what it is. And so here's the diagnosis, the Bible. And you can listen to people and I can figure out right away what passage of the scripture will describe what the person wants to do. And I know exactly how to diagnose and recommend the medicine we will see it now. So you see, the Bible is a diagnosis book. Now, you have to read it, otherwise you never get it. All right, number three, the Bible is medicine. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the scripture said, all the scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. All right? That's medicine. Correction. Now, there was a woman that was a prostitute and was caught as a prostitute. And our Lord is full of love and forgive her. Now, look with me, his medicine. John chapter 8 and verse 11. Some Bibles do not have this. So please, just keep the King James flowing. All right? John Gospel chapter 8 and verse 11. Look what Jesus said. Is anybody condemn you? That's page 1160. Does anybody condemn you? Woman, said verse 10, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, verse 11, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Now what was his medicine? Where was it? Sin no more. Sin no more. Oh, Pastor, we cannot do that. Would Jesus tell us to do something that we cannot do? People said, well, no, you cannot request. We are, you know, we, without knowing, put ourselves on the spots on the hands of Satan. So, well, we are weak, we're human, we have, and then we start putting ourselves down. Listen, you have been saved by the blood of Christ, you have been empowered by the Holy Spirit, and Satan had no business with us. All right? And so, here Jesus said to this lady, sin no more. Remember 2 Chronicles 7:14? If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray. Now, that's the medicine. When I say to people, have you prayed about? Well, no, Pastor. Do you want me to pray? No, no, don't pray. The Bible says, if my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray. There are so many people that call me about this, about the other. There are things I cannot pray in public because it's private, it's personal, and on the people. And I'm glad they call me to pray about it. But there are other issues that we can pray. Imagine if we do not pray for the church building. We will be suffering today. All right? So we humble ourselves and say, Lord, I know that we have resources, but we alone cannot do it. So teach us how to use these resources. So finally, there's another point. It's preventive medicine. Look at in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All the scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. Now, that word instruction is the best they can do at that time. But the word instruction really have the ability to say training. It's more just the telling you what to do, is training you. And we studied this on Wednesday night, and there is a whole page about this, but I read it again for you in Psalm 119 and verse 105. I know that we have done a big study on this. Is letter number 14 in the Hebrew alphabet, as you know, in Psalm 119, are divided by letters. And in verse 105 said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, that's today, and a light unto my path, that's tomorrow. But you need to keep on moving. You cannot be a Christian and stand in one place. Are you progressing in your Christian service to the Lord? You cannot be, here the Bible said, it is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my feet, and a lamp into my path. That means you are moving. And so that's preventive medicine. As you move from high school to college, find in the Bible the path. All right? I told Jacqueline, be careful. Be reading the scripture. What must I do in my college life? As you finish college and you were working, what must I do as a worker? The Bible teaches you how to work. You work for Jesus Christ. Don't worry about unions. Don't worry about law. You work to the point that your boss cannot fire you because you lose money. I never have a man being fired because he was a good worker. Even a boss who is not making profit at this time will keep you, knowing that more job will come later on, and have you that rather let you go. If you are a great worker and bring all your effort to make that money man rich, because that's your job. See? Don't think about yourself, think about others, said the scripture. And no, God take care of you. I never saw a boss or an owner who you serve faithfully and will be not gracious to you with generosity. We lost that today. We saw many social behavior. Like this morning, I was excited about it. You know that I want to be a politician. I was excited about it. It's this socialism has destroyed the foundation of our country and has destroyed your lifestyle. Work with great pleasure. It's fantastic. Preventive medicine. Look in 2 Peter. I don't put it here, but I give you one more text. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Look at this. So that you get in love with the Bible and tomorrow start reading a chapter a day from any place in the Bible. 2 Peter 1, 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in the dark places. We have a sure word of prophecy that when we come to a dark place where people are really confused, you can look into the Bible and you can see what's really going on. Now, I have to give you the application. Why is God's word so important? Now, Romans 10:17 says, faith come by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Now, here's what the Bible is. The Bible is a written document by God. Why is it so important? The language of the Bible is the instrument to enlighten me about God. The language of the Bible is the instrument that God used to enlighten me about God. The conviction is the work of God to cause me to believe it. That's why the Bible is so important. It is a document that produces enlightenment in my life. And as the enlightenment comes into my mind, then God used that to convict me and bring me to Him or stop doing what I'm doing wrong. No wonder Satan said, no more reading of the Bible in the schools. I think if Satan knows more than you and me, how important is this book? And like no reading the Constitution of the United States. I love to listen to the senators in the night and take no time because they go beyond what the Constitution of the United States says. And it's important that you and I become writers to our congressmen and to our senators and telling them what the Constitution says. It's important that you and I spend time in the Word of God and find out what God said, being enlightened, and so as you become enlightened, you become convicted. Not by your pastor, not by your mother, not by your father. You become convicted by God that you need no other things to do. So important. So important. So is the Bible important to us? Yes, indeed. What is the Bible? The Bible is the Word of God. Who wrote the Bible? Jehovah, God. Why the Bible is so important? Because I got enlightenment for my soul and enlightenment for my life here on this earth. Cut off your television viewing by half and supply reading of the Scripture or listening to the Scripture. And I like reading because I see it. But if you like to listen, just listen. Believe me, don't listen when you're driving. It's against the law. You have to drive your ears open. But I tell you, you will change without you knowing. Without you knowing. You will suffer sometimes because you see the failures that are in you. And you ask the Lord forgiveness and His strength to overcome. And He is a merciful God. How long I have to wait for His mercies, the class? How long? 24 hours, all right? The mercies of, we are not consumed. It is because of the mercies of the Lord we are not consumed. His mercies are renewed every morning. Lamentation 2, 23 and 24. May God bless us. And may these make us strong that we believe the Word of God, not just as a philosophy, not just as a religious thing. We believe the Word of God because it is the substance of my life to please God. Some people say, well, my father and mother are too hard. Well, maybe so. But you don't have to please them. You please God. And as you please God, you please your mother and father. Remember, Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents. Somebody say, how old? Well, as long as you live in your parents' home, you obey your father. Very good. All right? Thank you, Father. Thank you for the lesson tonight. We know these things. But when we put it together, it makes a real difference. Lord, give us the strength and the conviction to read your word and to analyze our life in the light of your word. In Jesus we pray with thanksgiving. And Father, we pray for this week that you will give us a glorious week, a victorious week. Doesn't mean there will be no trouble. There will be trouble. There will be difficulties. There will be nonsense things happen to us. But give us the strength to cope through the picture of Christ in our life. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.